Clay in the last few years has shown that, like, if there's someone that disrespects him, he will
talk that talk.
Well, it can get spicy and chippy.
Yes,
I mean,
it will.
Well, him in Minnesota preceding the Rudy Gobert situation, him and obviously, you know, the guy Devin Booker down in Phoenix, yep. They got into it. Dylan Brooks and him, like, there's been many moments.
Oh yeah, no, Clay's gonna talk that talk. Let's go to Rocco in Cleveland. Rocco, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on? Thank you for taking my call. Just wanted a quick moment, kind of a different one. It's an older one. Quick context, Steph's my favorite player ever coming out of Davidson. That became the case, so that's why I'm a Warriors fan in Cleveland, so I appreciate listening to you guys get my Warriors fixed. But anyway, his second season in the league, Warriors came to Cleveland. I want to say it was like early January, mid-early January. I had never been to an NBA game before, so I finally, you know, saved up enough to get tickets, went with my mom. They announced Steph wasn't playing. He had an ankle issue or something. I was crushed, man. I was like borderline in tears going to the arena because I wasn't get to see my favorite player. But Clay went out there and put on an absolute show that night. It was his then career high. He scored like 32 33. I'm a bad fan for not remembering the exact number, but anyway, that just solidified him as like my second favorite player in the league, right behind Steph, because that just, I mean, he picked up all my sadness that I had going into the arena and just turned it into sheer happiness. Again, put on a show, beat up on the Cavs, and it was just kind of game over from there, man. He, again, just became my second favorite player. I'll never have any hate for him. All love to Clay. Super excited for the game tonight.
Good call, Rocco. Good call. 888-957-9570. If you want to share some of your favorite Clay Thompson moments, what are you looking forward to tonight? How weird is it to see him at that number 31? 888-957-9570. That is the number as we celebrate Clay Day. Clay Day. Here in the Bay Area. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on a free Odyssey app. We'll do 60 seconds of celebrity in just a second here, but we are giving away a Klay Thompson jersey in the 8 o'clock hour, 12 o'clock hour, and the 4 o'clock hour, and you'll have to answer some trivia. So we'll give out the number a little bit later. We'll have that going for you in the 8 o'clock hour again. Three chances to win a Klay Thompson jersey. One during our show, one during Starting and Goo, one during Willard Diz, but you got to listen all day long to find out what is what. I got to go to this montage real quick.
Okay.
I got to hear it. We've been talking about it. It's one of my favorite all-time games, playoff games.
Green to Klay Thompson. Where do you face him? But Klay fires away. He's got another three. It's an NBA record, 10 threes in a playoff game. 96-92. He's got 36. Westbrook stumbles with a dribble, almost falls down. Stripped by Andre and stolen. Iguodala to Thompson. Right side three for the lead. Got it! Golden State leads with a minute 35 to go. It's 104-101. Klay Thompson has 11 threes in the game.
You ever just watch that game and just fire it up? Because I still get the same goosebumps.
Totally.
That I did when I was watching it live.
Absolutely.
Steph had a great three, too. I mean, it was unbelievable theater, man.
You know what I've thought about many times? Because people bring up, like, the woulda, coulda, shoulda trade situation, obviously, with Kevin Love. And we all remember which side we landed on. I argued till I was blue in the face to my boy Rocco. He wanted K-Love. I did not want to trade Klay Thompson by any means necessary. We argued for days.
I wanted K-Love.
A lot of people did.
But not for the price point that
a lot of
Minnesota was asking. They were asking for King's ransom.
And at the time, the power forward that could rebound was a coveted thing. And we evolved from that thinking quite quickly. But I always think about this. They move off Mark Jackson because we know how important Mark Jackson was to Steph and Klay's career. What if they had hired Van Gundy? You know, like what? How does this thing play out? Like, if they hire Van Gundy, does Klay get the freedom and the shots and the looks? Do they win in the playoffs? Do they make the adjustments? Does he have the credibility to be able to balance all of the personalities? I'm talking about the early versions of the team.
Well, Stan Van Gundy, what happens to Draymond Green? Would he value a player like that?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, it's a very underrated storyline because Van Gundy wanted full control. He wanted to be the coach and the GM, but it was like, he ended up getting that Detroit, got fired. It's just like, come on, dude. Like,
he got full control.
Full control. And got fired a couple years later. It just didn't work out for him. That's an underrated storyline because as Steve Kerr was visiting the Knicks and talking to Phil Jackson about taking a Knicks job, and thankfully Kerr's kid, Nick, was going to Cal Berkeley, so he got to be closer to his son. That is a very underrated storyline with Stan Van Gundy. I don't think about that much, but I was very happy they didn't go that direction. I like Stan. I like Stan on the microphone. I think he's a good dude. But I remember at the time thinking, I don't want Stan Van Gundy. I just don't want him. Well, I wanted something new and fresh.
No doubt. And I think when you lost those games to the Clippers, it was pretty evident to me, ISO ball and low efficiency and not a lot of passing. The offense needed a jolt really, really, really bad. But how many times do you hire the greatest coach ever in the history of your organization?
Yeah, you don't.
Very few times. And I think about all the mistakes they could have made. Think of how many different coaches are hired and fired all around the league that they could have, you know, acquired, who would have stunted the growth and the freedom and the shot selection of a Klay Thompson.
Yeah, no doubt.
Who would have not known what to do with a Draymond Green. Who would have said, you know, Steph, I got to rein in your shot selection. I want you to play pure point, not kind of the hybrid way that you're playing. Like, I think a lot about Steve Kerr and his system, and it fit each one of those three superstars to a T. Enhanced each one of them too.
I'm looking at this box score with OKC game six. The Thunder went 3 of 23 from three.
Oof.
KD was 1 for 8.
What was Serge?
0 for 5. Serge was 1 for 6. The Warriors outscored the Thunder 33-18 in that fourth quarter to send it to a game seven. I mean, it's just not only because of my Warrior bias, but when I think about all the great playoff games I've watched in my lifetime, whether it's Rocket Suns coming back from 20, Suns coming back from 20, or the kiss of death with Mario Ellie, game six Jordan, which one? Steve Kerr, the Bulls coming back against the Blazers in game six from 19 down. They putting on the full court press in the fourth quarter, old Chicago Stadium. Reggie Miller in the choke side at Madison Square Garden game five, even though they would end up losing that series in seven. It's one of my favorite playoff games of all time. All time is one of my favorite series of all time. And you could take I could be from Cleveland, I could be from Toronto. You just think about that series and the legacies that were built. Even though the Warriors lost that championship, and, you know, we try to forget about game seven and what happened then. But Klay Thompson felt like he was coming out of his shell after that first championship. So then this is the second year where they're trying to go back to back. And it felt like it cemented his Warriors legacy with that game six. Like, he could do no wrong after that game six. Now he goes over in the play-in game last season, and I know people want to harp on that, but that game six, like, out of nowhere, was like, wow, I didn't know Klay had this in him.
I think the fearlessness in the face of elimination is what made him such a superhero, you know, and his ability to take, I mean, some of the shots, if you just go back to that, to think about where the game was 10 years ago, taking the shots he was taking so quick in the shot clock, so quick off of a pin down. I mean, it's unreal.
Up,
like, I'll never forget some of those shots. Like, oh my God!
The Westbrook shot at the top of the key where he wasn't even squared up at the hoop.
Unreal.
And he still makes it. And then you look at the bench and they're like, what is going on here?
It was Red Dead Redemption, the video game. Like he was locked in.
Unbelievable game.
Max Payne. I don't know if you've ever played those video games, but you know what I'm talking about.
I know about Max Payne. Never really got into it, though.
Well, they had this like button. You'd click R1, and like automatically like locked in on the target. No matter where you were, it would like hit them right in between the eyes. I don't know. It's old video games.
Max Payne.
But Klay was like a video game.
It was
specifically in that game.
It was unreal. Unreal. He followed up with 21 in game seven. Steph had a 36-8 in game seven against OKC. It was a fascinating game. OKC was up double figures. OKC was up double figures. I still get goosebumps with Steph. I know it's Klay Day, but at the end of game five, down 3-1, Westbrook walks into the Oracle Arena. I'll never forget, he's wearing all black. And I'm like, oh gosh. Westbrook.
That aged well.
Dude, I mean, it was wild. They were talking that talk. They were feeling good. And Steph's dribbling the ball. And you see the zoom in on TNT. We ain't going home. We ain't going home, man. That's iconic, man. I know everything.
If you would have told Westbrook that moment when they were at 3-1.
Why don't you play that drop?
I thought it was the Stephen Curry, I know everything, because they're labeled the exact same thing. So I apologize.
If I would have told Westbrook that day, you're never going to win a championship. And in fact, you're going to bounce around to a zillion teams. There's no way he believes you.
I know everything.
Well, he would have. Maybe have some words for you.
For sure he would have had some words for
you. You know, I've got that Westbrook experience.
But we had the last laugh.
The Westbrook experience is one of the eights. By the way, speaking of Draper, Kings lost by 20 yesterday to the San Antonio
Spurs.
The NBA has a problem right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, they got beat by 20. Ooh.
Malik Monk out?
Oh, Sacramento.
I'm out.
We just blew off 60 seconds to celebrate. We can do it a little later. Tune in for Warriors Live today, presented by Xfinity.
Gar!
See sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. 888-957-9570. Let's get in here. 888-957-9570. Your favorite Klay moment. Where did it go wrong with Klay Thompson? Anything, Klay, that you want to get off your chest? I don't care if you don't like him, if you love him, whatever it is. The floor is yours. 888-957-9570. That is what's coming up. Brought to you by the San Francisco International Airport.
This is Klay Thompson.
Iguodala to Thompson. Right side three for the lead. Got it! Golden State leads with a minute 35 to go. It's 104-101. Klay Thompson has 11 threes in the game.
And you are listening to the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. You better not be roasting me if I'm giving them all these intros.
That's pretty good. Klay Thompson is back in the Bay. Shoot around yesterday for the Dallas Mavericks. He was wearing a different uniform on the Chase Center court. And today, as the Emirates NBA Cup starts group play, what are the Warriors in? Group C, I believe, with the Mavericks, whatever group they're in. Emirates Cup today, NBA Cup. Shaska wants the banner. Everybody wants the banner. But Klay is back. And look, we're going to talk about his memories, his moments. But Anthony Slater wrote an article yesterday, and I wouldn't mind diving into, Shaska, about what happened over the last couple years and the meeting that, you know, Steve Kerr and Klay Thompson had over breakfast in Manhattan Beach. You know, you think about his career. He turned 29 before, 4 months before tearing his ACL. Then he was 30. And in the rehab process, he tears his Achilles. So basically, he had all this time of rehab, and he lost his 29th year, 30th year, comes back 31. And it sucks. He missed 941 days of basketball. And he's trying to rediscover his game and rediscover, you know, what he was during those NBA Finals as one of the best two-way players in the NBA. It just wasn't going to happen with the way his legs, the pounding his legs took and all the rehab and everything. He lost some sizzle. There's no doubt. But the breakfast here, you know, as the Warriors trying to make a last-ditch effort and talk to him, Steve Kerr drove up from San Diego. And obviously, Klay had a lot of bitterness growing from not finishing and starting and getting them brought to blame about everything like that. And there's no doubt he was sulking. The body language wasn't great. But, you know, Steve Kerr, he drove up to Manhattan Beach. Basically say, hey, look, man, there's going to be some differences here. Your role is going to fluctuate. You could be coming off the bench. You may start. You may get 25 minutes. You may get 18. And Klay just basically said, you know what? Yeah, I think I'm going to go to Dallas. And Steve Kerr understood it. I understood it. You understand it. Everybody should understand it. That, oh, you have that? Oh, he talked about it yesterday with Lillard and Dibs? All right, here it is, Spadoni.
I wanted to make sure that he knew how I felt and how all the coaches felt before he made a decision. This was right around July 1st, whenever, you know, free agency started. And because, you know, the last couple of years were really emotional for Klay. And you know, there's always contract stuff and you know, just things that get in the way of relationships at times. And, you know, the main thing I wanted him to know was just, you know, how much he meant to us and how much we wanted him back. And so it was great. It was great to connect to at least, you know, express my feelings for what we wanted. But in the end, I think it was the right decision for him. He you know, he was feeling strongly about needing a fresh start. And it's been a tough couple of years coming off the injuries. And I think he made his decision and he was at peace with it. And you know, at least I could be there with him, you know, as he made that decision and meet face to face. That was important for me and for us, I think.
And that's Steve Kerr on that breakfast.
You know, I think that defiance, confidence, irrational belief in yourself are some of the key ingredients to becoming a professional athlete, right? Obviously, you have to have the physical gifts and all that, but the intangibles, the mental makeup to have that, it's unreal. And it's one thing when you're a role player and you're reduced to maybe a lesser role coming off the bench. I think the hardest thing in sports at the professional level is I'm a great player, all-time great for this franchise, and now I have to become a role player. Mm-hmm. I actually think that drop, though not as precipitous as the I'm a role player and now I'm a don't play a lot guy, mm-hmm. is a precipitous drop. That's the hardest one to grasp, and so many athletes have said the mirror is the last to know. Meaning you have so much irrational belief in yourself, which is what got you to where you are, that it's very difficult to be able to compartmentalize some of the adjustments that are right. necessary for you to sustain and survive in your current ecosystem. And then I look at the business aspect of it playing a role, and people say, it's just business, it's just business. Nah, there's a respect level you feel you've earned, and I get it. And there's a pecking order that you think is established and a way that things need to be done because you've earned equity within a particular environment. And so when all of these things are baked into the pie, it makes for a very messy, messy situation when any one of these things starts to change. You know, I think that's what ended up happening with the Warriors. And I don't think it's anyone's fault. I think this just happens.
No, it was time to move on.
And the interests aren't aligned.
It was time to move on. It was time. It was time after the way last year played out. And he was, you know, Klay Thompson discussed this, and Slater wrote this in the article, and, you know, some of the bitterness. But, you know, Klay Thompson said in January, you know, I had a conversation with Steve about just enjoying the last chapter of my career and how lucky I truly am to be playing this game, being a better mentor for the young guys, leading by example, having my energy right every game. He helped me realize I do have negative energy and how that affects the team in a poor manner. And that was great perspective by Klay Thompson last season. I do think he needs to give himself a little more credit because when he rehabbed with James Wiseman every single day, took James Wiseman out of the boat, hear from James Wiseman, Klay did a lot for him. Moses Moody, they still play chess together. So Klay, I think, was there for the young guys, but it's just his body language because Klay, his body language wasn't so much, man, I need to get mine. I need to rediscover the guy wants to win. The guy, there's certain guys in sports that used to say they want it too much. They try to do too much. I think Pods may be going through a little bit of that right now in his second season, where he wants it so damn bad that maybe he's forcing it a little bit. And maybe he's a little out of sorts with his jump shot or whatnot. And I think he'll be fine. He'll find it, but You try to do too much to prove yourself and reprove yourself. And like Klay, you came back after missing 941 days. It's a miracle that you're playing basketball at this point, let alone leading the league in made threes, and let alone coming off the bench and doing what you did off the bench. So I do think the 0-for-10 playing game really skews everything because it was just a rough night for everybody, but especially Klay Thompson. But going up into that point, the last 30 games, we didn't talk much about Klay's attitude.
The 0-for-10 playing game, I'm going to be honest with you. If anyone brings that up as like really? Like, of all the things that you think of when you come to Klay Thompson, that is so, like, so far down. And I think that if you're clinging to that, that tells me you kind of just got here it comes to, like, rooting for the Warriors.
Well, it just shows you where your mind is at right now. But I look at Klay Thompson, and he had a 17-game stretch where in 13 of those games he came off the bench. And he shot his best percentages, 41 from three and 43 from the field. And we watched it. He was moving the ball. And they played the interview where I asked Klay Thompson about coming off the bench. And he said, you know what? It's fine. It's fine. We're all good. This is good for me. So, look, man, Klay Thompson's done a lot for this uniform. He's done a lot for this organization. He's done a lot for this region. And at one point, he became one of the more lovable Warriors that we've ever seen. All the different nicknames, his China tours, it's just him being him. Like, as personable as you could be, as normal as you could be as a millionaire athlete, Klay was that.
Very few, though, get to go out on their own accord and get the storybook ending. And I think that's the in our minds, it's like a Netflix movie. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, but how many people get the John Elway walk off?
No, not real.
Peyton Manning got it, and Peyton Manning was literally replaced by a quarterback nobody remembers in the middle of that year. Remember that?
Brock Osweiler.
Exactly. You remember because you have a sickness,
but people remember.
But you know what most athletes end up doing? Most, I'm just saying, like even the great ones, Lincecum fading away for the Los Angeles Angels in a rehab start.
It was bad.
Retiring quietly and going away and sadly never getting the just due. Mm-hmm. Like the real walk-off moment. Mm-hmm. Madison Bumgarner sitting as a free agent, not doing anything. Dwight Clark being forced into retirement because his body was completely crushed and was a shell of himself. You know, like more athletes go out that way than go out the storybook way. And I think shame on me for thinking the Warriors will be different. And I did. I thought, like, oh, all three of these guys in an era of nonstop player movement and guys teaming up, they're going to all go out kumbaya holding hands together simultaneously. And it just, it was never real. It was never like the money, the business, the emotions, the, you know, guys in different spots of their lives and so many different things played into it. It was just never going to happen. And like, I felt like it would happen here because this is different.
Right.
But it's not a Netflix movie.
Right. No, it's not. And look, there's a lot of things added up over the last 2 years. We talk about the contract, the 2 for $48, and there's differing stories on the authenticity of that deal. There's floating numbers all over the place. I know Clay didn't like hearing the narrative about, hey, man, they paid you 2.5 years to rehab. It's like, look, man, I got hurt playing in the NBA Finals game, playing at a high level, trying to win this organization the championship. Like, you can't control injuries. You can't control Danny Green going up and trying to block a duck that he wasn't going to block. You can't control him playing at 505 after being cleared, and all of a sudden, boom, your Achilles goes after cooking dudes at 505 pickup. You can't control that. It probably sucked. Rehabbing is worse than playing. Like, I talked to Willie about it. He's, dude, rehab's the worst thing ever.
It's the most lonely existence.
Lonely. It's tedious. It's the same damn thing. You can barely walk. Like, it's a nightmare.
Monte, my nephew was talking about his recovery from Tommy John at 16 years old, okay? 16 years old. He's living in the house with his family, and he's got all his buddies and everything. He was depressed.
Depressed, man.
And now he's 16. He wasn't doing it in his 30s, where that's all he knows in your 30s. Like, you've literally been doing that more than anything in your life your entire time. And simultaneously, nothing brings you more joy than to play that game.
No doubt.
And I think that's the part that's lost on some of the fans when these guys are going through it. And I, you know, I've seen it firsthand on a variety of athletes. Like, we underrate how much this sport means to them.
Let's go to Ray in Illinois. Ray, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Ray?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Doing all right.
Hey, so I wanted to comment on my favorite Clay moment. It's so many to think about, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of them that come to mind more interestingly is when it was game six, right? Now, this is when we first talk about game six, Clay. We were going against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And obviously, Clay was feeling it, but it was just one thing when the ball had got inbounded to Clay. Clay is probably about 4 or 5 feet from the three-point line, behind the three-point line, and he shoots the ball. Now, his feet wasn't even facing the rim, right? His shoulders were. When he caught the ball, his shoulders were, but his feet wasn't even facing the rim. And he just turns, pulls up over Westbrook, and just knocks the three down in his face. I'm like, man, this dude is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's, there's no doubt about that. I'm thinking about, Ray, just the 18,000-plus had to be in the building tonight. And we're watching Klay Thompson, and look, he's wired differently, man. He's not going to show emotion on a surface level. He's just not. Internally, he's probably going to watch this game a lot, right? He's going to want to bang 7 threes. He's going to want to fist pump. He's going to want to do all these different things. But on the surface, that's just who Clay is. He's going to try to just play basketball. But we all know inside of Clay Thompson's mind, the guy we've gotten to know him over the last 13 years, 14 years, when he was drafted number 11 overall, coming out of Washington State, we know he's going to be emotional. And what he said the other day, I'm getting a lot of DMs about what he said the other day after they lost to Denver. He's like, yeah, it's just another game in November. You got to also realize that these guys shower, they get in the locker room, they go to the podium. He's probably, knowing Klay Thompson, he's still seething over the loss against the Denver Nuggets. He's not worried about the Bay Area yet. And so I wouldn't take those comments so damn seriously. I wouldn't take them to heart. They just lost a basketball game to Denver. They're trying to find their rhythm here, and he didn't have a great game.
What's he going to say, though? Like, let me play the reverse of it. Like, for those that wanted him to say, what's he going to say? Oh, my God, my entire heart is there, and, you know, I spent all this time in it. You also have to have tact with your own teammates that you're currently with.
Right.
Like, there's a delicate balance. And so I don't think he meant anything malicious to crush Warrior fans. I think a lot of Warrior fans are looking to be upset. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody needs to relax.
Yeah, I would hope so. I would hope so because he once did this for the organization.
Durant pulls up into traffic, loses the ball, bats it out to Curry, finds Thompson, right corner, three, got it!
Now you're cooking.
It's a two-point game. Oracle is rocking, and Mike D'Antoni needs to talk it over. Draymond, pass goes to Thompson in the corner. He'll take a three, knocked it down. Klay Thompson on fire. 5 of 10 from distance. He's tied the game at 69. Draymond throws to Thompson. He's open right side. The three ball's good. Draymond on the break, shovel back to Klay. It's a 27-footer. Good.
Their biggest lead of the night keeps getting bigger.
89-77. Klay Thompson says, I'm not going home. Not tonight. Durant on the jaw. Takes it middle. Drifting far side. Chest pass to Draymond. Throws to Thompson. Off a screen. Three ball up and good again. 8 threes for Klay.
They were down 17 at the end of the first quarter of that game. Six against Houston in 2017-18. Guru and I did the pregame show. And I remember... We're like, is this the last game with the big three?
Wow.
Or the big four, I should say. Draymond, KD, Klay, and Stephen Curry. And as we were doing a pregame show, like, could this really be it? And Chris Paul obviously was out with the hamstring injury, but Iguodala also got hurt at the end of game four. And I think people underrate Iguodala's value to the Golden State Warriors on that roster. But Klay just went berserk. 9 made 3s. Steph had 29 and 5 made 3s. Klay Thompson finished with 35. And that was another game six that kind of gets swept under the rug here with Klay Thompson. He just went crazy in the biggest moments.
God, those Houston teams, I hated them so much.
I hated them so much. It was so good to beat them.
I really did. Like, I hated them so much. And it felt like to me, the Warriors, Klay, hated them too.
They were annoyed by them. They were super annoyed by them. Like, not even close.
Like, just, so it was. It was,
and you know what? The next year.
The big three is over.
The next year. Guru and I were doing a pregame show. I remember some people taking shots online. I won't name who. Anyway, it's the pettiness of me.
Sports, man.
The next season, when they played Houston and KD got hurt in that game five at Oracle. And the Warriors ended up surviving. Steph Curry woke up in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, you're going to six, but you have no KD. I go into a Rockets locker room, and it was like they lost a series. So I remember hustling back to the Warriors locker room to get some more sound, and Livingston's like, yo, we got these dudes. They're cooked. We got them. I was like, all right. I got shot
so
down.
So Livingston said that to you in the locker room?
And I was like, off the record. Me and another guy, I think it was Marcus Thompson, matter of fact. He's like, kind of slapped me in the chest, yo, we got these guys. And I started talking, you know, me being a double agent. Yeah, man, their heads were down in the locker room, man. They seemed very somber. I took it to the other next day. Papa was freaking out because Durant got hurt.
Wait a minute. Greg was freaking out?
Oh, he was freaking out. I was like, oh, my God, Kevin Durant's hurt. What's going on? I don't know if they could do
that. The seventh metacarpal.
Dude, I was like, yo, they're cooked. They're cooked. And Steph Curry has a great second half. James Harden, what did James Harden do in that second half? Wasn't it, like, iconically bad?
Yeah, it was horrific.
Historically bad. He just didn't show up in the Warriors' events to the NBA or to the Western Conference Finals.
Gordon was bricking everything.
Everything.
And, those Rocket versions. I mean, there was a time against those Rocket teams. I hated Clint Capella so mm-hmm. much. And I was like, oh, if only the Warriors could get a Clint Capella. It's like, what was I thinking? Am I the only one that thought that?
Probably.
You had to experience it to understand what I was talking about.
Nah, I wasn't thinking about no Clint. It was like, yeah, it's great, but I like our roster as is.
Well, he was a nice lob threat. He was a nice rim runner.
But you know what? You had JaVale. You had Zaza. You had Bogut. You were fine. And you were going to the Hamptons 5 when it was all said and done. You're going either to the death lineup or the Hamptons 5. the Def lineup with Harrison Barnes, the Hampton slides with Kevin Durant.
Do you want to go to the Hamptons one day?
Absolutely. I almost went to the Hamptons this past summer.
Bonte, the Hamptons Hill?
Hamptons are nice, man. Nice. Very nice. I like to go to all the finer places. That's why I like to travel the world.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to do that?
It was horrible how the Warriors went from the Hamptons 5 to the Hamptons Inn in 2020.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
It's Hamptonality right there.
Pebble Beach Bonte.
Pebble Beach Bonte.
I've yet to go.
Oh, it's amazing.
No, I know.
Lodge is amazing. The food's amazing.
I was supposed to go a few years ago, but I got a late start to the day, so I didn't make it.
We'll go off air. I got somebody down there.
Yeah, I know a couple people too. Know a couple people too.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then define.
No. You know it.
No, that's okay. I only had a suite on the 18th hole.
No.
Day before Christmas. That's all.
Bonte knows Jim Nance, who lives down there. All right. Him and Jimbo are tight.
Know a couple people down there. Just say that.
Are you going to golf when you go down there?
No, I'm not going down there anytime soon.
We had an infamous hot tub situation with my dad down there. We will leave off air.
Don't talk about that.
We had an infamous hot tub situation with my dad.
You got my attention now.
He went commando down at Pebble Beach. God rest his soul.
I can't find the tongue.
When
you say
moment.
Commando, you mean just...
Completely, yeah. And I go, Dad, this is a public hot tub.
I'm out.
Yeah. So my mom's going to kill me for bringing this up.
He went commando in the hot tub. Now, who was all in the hot tub?
It was not a good situation. We're gonna end this story.
No,
right
you
now.
Brought it up. Now I'm
not
going to
disgrace
myself. What is going on here?
Hot tubs, I feel like we've hit all the important points of this story.
No, we haven't. No, we haven't hit the important points.
The best part is he lies about the whole thing.
That's not good journalism, love, man. We got to find out who was in the hot tub. You were in the hot tub with a commando?
He came in commando. I was already in the hot tub. I was extremely, extremely uncomfortable. I demanded that he go pay for a pair of swim trunks. It was not good. He basically was hiding over the jets as someone else came in. And I was like, Dad, you need to get out of the hot tub. And he's like, we're good. We're good. I'm like, no, we're not good. You need to get out before we all go to jail.
Oh, did I get fooled on that?
But it's just what old men do. They don't think.
No.
That's what Papa Shasky does.
That's what Shasky
does.
He
was Frank from Always Sunny.
That's what Shasky does.
That's some Frank would do.
I miss him.
Yeah, if Bob Spadoni ever did that, yikes. No, I'd have to check my dad for that for sure.
It
makes me very uncomfortable.
I do worry about becoming the crazy old man like that. And we're like, I don't care. I don't care what anyone thinks. It's like, oh boy. But what? You think I'm already there? Screw you, Loveman.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
You think Clay ever went commando on the boat? Probably, right? You like that pivot?
Yeah, you pivoted to Clay Thompson being commando on the boat.
I just asked the question. You can say no and just keep talking about him.
I don't get it.
Clean it up, Monte.
I would rather be the White Sox.
Oh, my God.
I got Will Venable as a manager. And now I'm seeing Giants rumors that they're going to meet with Juan Soto. Well, for what?
It's going to be like the Steve Kirk, Clay Thompson meeting.
Share their own Clay Thompson memories.
Why? Why?
I've actually
when
made my decision.
Cozy play for you.
Man. Let's see. Here's Clay Thompson. I'm prepared for the Warriors matchup.
Probably share my knowledge with my teammates and coaches and try and limit what they do well. Obviously a high volume 3-point shooting team and switch a ton on defense. So we'll go into Tuesday trying to counteract those two aspects.
Now, this is interesting because a lot of people are beefing off of that comment. And 214. Comcast Business Text Line. Clay's unstoppable confidence in himself helped us win 4 championships, and it's also the reason he had to go. Happy he found a team that suits him for who he is.
Mm.
No beef. No beef whatsoever. Does anybody have beef with Clay? I'm eager. Does anybody have 888-957-9570? We're trying to do the positivity thing here and talk about his great memories or whatnot, but all right, let's go to the other side for a second.
Is there just maybe a little bit of leftover negative residue?
I don't know. I want to know. Does anybody have Pete's commando?
Well, here's what's wrong.
Can't believe the commando.
Clean it up, Auntie.
What do you mean?
It's a Commando, Pebble Beach, man. How does the conversation transition to Clay Commando on the boat? You guys are unbelievable. But no, I just want to know the bitterness.
Look, my dad was the Frisco Larry David. Okay, he would find himself in these situations that were very unbelievable. All right, and yes, going Commando at Pebble Beach was one of the many Larry David moments that he had in his life. I'm not happy about it.
Why are you not happy about it?
Because it was an uncomfortable situation. That being said,
who's all in the hot tub? That's what I want to know. Who's
it? It was my brother. Happy birthday to my brother. It was JP Money and me and Pops.
That's it? Just the four of you?
Yes, in a public hot tub.
Nobody else came along?
It was like 45 degrees.
Nobody else came along to the hot tub?
Well, no, then someone came in and we each individually tried to help him get out so that he wouldn't be seen. And yeah, not good.
No.
Size matters.
Oh my God! What are you doing? Why are you disgracing his honor?
415. No beef, not with Clay or Durant or any other Warrior that left, but helped us win chips. 925. Zero beef with Clay. He is a Warriors legend. 510, let's get to the real question. How many points is Clay dropping on Dub Nation tonight? That I have no idea on. The Warriors do have the personnel to slow down Clay Thompson at the stage. He's not going to handle the ball much.
Who's going to guard him, you think? Melton, Wiggins?
Well, no, you got Luka and Kyrie.
I know. So who would you imagine? Do you put Steph on him? Well, your suggestion of GP2 the other day against Cleveland, I was in full agreement with it, and then I was watching you about halfway through the game. Like, it didn't really work out the way I anticipated.
It was more so, I know how Steve thinks. I've been watching this guy coach for a while.
Gotcha.
Now called the D'Anthony Melton on Sunday.
Yeah.
They bully too, but, you know, so I gave Bully most of the credit. He knows a lot more about basketball than I do.
Just knowing
Steve Kerr and just knowing how he operates and knowing the personnel on the Cleveland sideline, tonight he's going to go with Melton. He said so the other night that he's going to go with Melton. So Melton, you have to figure, is going to be on Kyrie.
Wiggins on Luka?
Wiggins on Luka.
The bigger body, yeah.
Steph, they may try to throw Steph on to Klay Thompson. Or is it Draymond Green? One of the members of the Big Three is going to guard Clay. That's fascinating. Because I'm looking at the other guys, Najee Marshall, and then Daniel Gafford. So TJD on Gafford to start the game. It's going to be Steph or Draymond on Clay Thompson.
Look.
Wow. That's intriguing.
What made Clay so under the radar, his endurance and conditioning and his movement off ball to always find the open spot and never give up. I mean, he would just run and run and run and run. I mean, think of how many times him and Steph would come baseline and they're going off of screens and things like that, pin downs and you know, flying up. It's just his ability to move was just so beautiful because once he got open, I mean, it's just one dribble. If you pump fake, a guy goes by him, he's hitting that shot. Now he doesn't move as well, and so you might be able to get away with putting Steph Curry on him as a spot-up shooter. But if I'm them and I'm Dallas and I know that, well, then I think I throw it to Klay Thompson in the block.
Well, it's also, you know, when Klay, before he got hurt, he had that two-dribble pull-up. Mm. Dude, he was starting to cook with the mid-range two-dribble pull-up and kind of lost that element to his game where he was never the greatest playmaker, although he had a nice little rapport with TJD last season.
Well, against Toronto, it felt like he was becoming more of an off-the-dribble guy.
No, he was. He was becoming more of just a playmaker. Not to the level you know, a guy dropping 6 or 7 assists, but he had that two-dribble pull-up and was able to dribble, dribble, boom, I'm going to pull up and bang, knock this down in your face, man. And you just didn't see – you saw the element at times, but not consistently. Let's go to Joshua Freebot. We got Darrell Wright coming up at 8 o'clock. We're giving away a jersey in an 8 o'clock hour. Let's go to Joshua Freebot.
Hey, this is Josh.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Josh.
Hey, so I just wanted to talk about, like, hey, Vontae. So I just want to talk about the fact that, like, you guys have been talking about Clay all day and, like, how much we love him. But I wanted to, I guess, push back on the other side. I don't hate Clay at all. I'm a Warriors fan. I do love what he did for us. But I think I soured on him a little. I think that's the word to use here. I think that's maybe what he did to us a little bit, like the Warriors organization and the front office, definitely. But like, just hearing his words in the last couple of days, I feel like maybe this extends to his teammates even. Like, I think what he said about this game, it's just another Tuesday night, it is a little disrespectful to Steph and Draymond and Steve Kerr, like, don't you think? Like, for example, if you guys were at 95.7 The Game for a decade and then left, and then maybe Bonte, you were meeting up with Chasky, like, a year from now and just talking about your new job and new life, and you're just like, nah, that's just another meeting. Like, I don't really care. That feels a little disrespectful to me, to your guys that you've been with for so long. You won 4 championships. You were a whole dynasty. And to him, it's just like, you know, it's another day.
Let me ask you this. Because I'm going to cut you off. Because I actually did something with someone who used to work at this station, and I put myself in their shoes.
She's on the line.
Had I been, let's say, you know, not retained by my company, and in this hypothetical, Bonte still working, I would feel some kind of way about the company, and it'd be hard not to look at him a certain way. I'd be jaded. And so I guess defending Klay Thompson, I can understand feeling hurt and not wanting to praise them over the top effusively, knowing that I'm still sore, I'm still sensitive, I'm still hurt by it, because you didn't want me that much, right?
Well, absolutely. I agree. And I think the, like, kind of the negativity towards the front office is absolutely warranted. I just think that the relationship between, like, Steph, Klay, your players, it's, you're like, you guys are brothers. So I think that money or the contract, usually I felt, doesn't bleed into that. But I feel like in this situation, it kind of has. And I guess that's my reason here.
Yeah, I hear you. And I also believe in pro sports with a salary cap, it does feel like at times if you get yours, that limits how much I can get. And it's just, it's a byproduct of CBAs. And, you know, it, you can only afford so many people. And so, yeah, there is a domino effect or a Jenga puzzle piece of putting this stuff together. And if you pay that guy, well, you don't have extra years and money for me. And I can understand where you would get frustrated.
888-957-9570 is the number. Klay Day. What excites you about Klay Day? How strange is it for you to see Klay Thompson in another uniform? Now, we've seen 10 games with this new crop of Golden State Warriors, and they're 8-2. They've helped us kind of alleviate that pain or whatever disdain you may have had for Klay Thompson leaving. They're 8-2. They're rolling. They're not turning the ball over as much. They're not getting blow-bys as much. They're defending. They're playing. They're hustling. They're hitting threes. Steph is healthy. Wiggins looks all right, although Wiggins, we do have an injury report. Wiggins is questionable tonight. I forgot to mention that.
Oh, that's not good.
He's questionable at the back.
You asked about, like, what does it look like with Klay in another jersey? It looks weird. It's like when I see Montana in a Chiefs jersey, that looks weird. When I see Jerry Rice in a Denver Bronco or Seahawks jersey, it looks really weird. Frank Gore in a Buffalo Bills jersey, that was weird. Like, it's just weird. It doesn't look right to me. It just doesn't look right.
Back to Wiggins for just a second. Lower back strain. And this has been flaring up now so far this season. He's missed 2 games earlier this season with a similar issue. And if Wiggins can't go, then you'll probably start JK and tell JK to take on the assignment of Luka Doncic. But this is a problem not having Andrew Wiggins tonight if he doesn't go with the back injury. So something to monitor. That could skew up all the lineups here. And Dallas looking to get back on track here. So Wiggins questionable with the lower back strain, but it is Klay Day. We'll talk to Darrell Wright, who played with Klay early on in his career. That'll happen at 8 o'clock. Festus at 8:30. Zaza at 9 o'clock. Some other memories of Klay Thompson. What about when he broke the single-game record for most made threes in a quarter? Here it is.
Klay Thompson gets the ball. Left side, 3. Why not? Why not? Thompson loads up a 3 and front of the Warrior bench. He cannot miss. Klay, the trailing 3, buried it. Money. The Nets not even moving. It's not even moving. Back to Klay. It's a quarter 3, and yes, it is a swish. Ball comes inside. Thompson goes outside. Catches it. Hits a 3. Design play right out of the timeout. He just can't miss. Klay Thompson turns, catches, says, no, I'm going to hit a shot, and it's another 3. Klay Thompson open 3, and right up home another one. Curry, timeline, 3-point line, finds Klay, quick release, and a splash! He's tied the NBA record, held by Curry with 13 threes. Right side, Klay, takes a dribble, now the 3, got it! An NBA record for Klay Thompson, 14 threes!
Chicago calls time. And to a man, every player off the Warriors bench congratulates Klay Thompson, who is breaking Steph Curry's record.
That was back in 2018, early in the season, October. October 29th, 2018. Klay was off to a slow start, and then they get to the Windy City in Chicago at the United Center. He gets a cut on his forehead, puts out a headband, and makes 14 threes. Mm. And he was so happy, 14 to 24. You see KD with his hands up. Draymond, everybody was going crazy there for Klay Thompson. So, you know, I just saw the text trickle through. This is just stupidity. I'm going to read it anyway. I don't know why. Okay. But Comcast Business Text Line, one of Klay gone while KD was still here. Klay was the opposite of clutch. So, you know, that's your dumb text of the day.
Klay was the opposite of clutch?
I think people just be texting just to text.
That doesn't, like,
He wanted, 209 wanted some attention. I gave it to him.
When does that crack come into play?
I gave it to him. That's my mistake of giving it to him. But, you know, you get stupidity like that and, you know, stupidity about Klay's legacy. Klay helped Steph in so many different ways. As we all love Stephen Curry, and he's catapulted himself into top 10, top 15 conversations in NBA history as one of the greatest players we've ever seen. Klay defending the likes of James Harden and Donovan Mitchell and Kyrie Irving and sometimes switching on to LeBron and KD and Russell Westbrook, you name it, Damian Lillard. Klay was able to help Steph out where Steph didn't rest on defense, but he didn't have to worry about chasing around some of the elite guards in the league because Klay was there at 6'7", playing great on-the-ball defense. And I don't think we appreciate that enough.
No, his core strength, his ability to switch, his lateral movement against elite, you know, crossover dribblers and guys that just got to their spots, and his ability to defend without fouling was all-time. And the fact that Eric Bledsoe made an all-defensive team over Klay Thompson, still to this day, is one of the biggest travesties of all time. No, the reason I bring it up is because it's absurd. Say it out loud. Eric Bledsoe made an all-defensive team over Klay Thompson one year.
That's it. That's silly.
No, it's disgusting.
That's silly. That is silly. So we're sharing
Eric
memories.
Eric Bledsoe.
We're sharing memories. We're doing all that stuff. D. Wright's going to join us next on the River Islands guest line. Where's pre-post game? It's airplay.
It bugs me.
It is funny.
It bothers me.
No, it is funny. It is funny. There was a lot of hating going on when it came to the Warriors when they were winning rings and destroying people's legacies and their dreams of winning the championship. The Warriors shattered those dreams.
Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah.
Well, like, if we were to just name all the best players of an era, offensively, defensively, whatever, and then we go, all right, look, give me all defensive. Eric Bledsoe? How many names are you going to say just the last 10 years before you get to Eric Bledsoe?
I don't think Eric Bledsoe, if it comes up.
It bothers me.
Does it come up? No one.
I honestly forgot about him as a player.
Eric Bledsoe's family.
I've heard the name Eric Bledsoe.
Eric Bledsoe's family's not taking him.
They were rolling with
the Warriors. But to Bonte's point, they refused to give Klay the appropriate just due defensively. It drove me insane.
The entire Warrior legacy. How many people question whether or not Steph should win MVP, let alone unanimous MVP?
It's absurd.
You know what I'm saying? We had journalists from ESPN calling him a what? What was the word?
System player. Yeah,
No. It was a collaborative.
Collaborative. collaborative superstar.
Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying?
That's so good.
One of the worst.
It's just like, wow. So they disrespected the Warriors at all times. Draymond Green, he's not good. He can't win without.
I should bring that up next week. Brock Purdy's a collaborative superstar. Not just any superstar, a collaborative one.
I did see this.
What'd you see?
Before we get to the injury report, I got to get this one off. It's gonna cause a rift, but I don't care. I choose violence sometimes. Our boy Beek Becca or whatever his name is on Twitter, BEKE. I don't even know how to say it. Is it
Becky?
But his Twitter game is off point.
Yeah, a lot of it I can't like because of some of the language.
Yes. But he goes, Trump is about to beat two women candidates. He's all one versus a man barely alive. He's a system president.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
I was like, damn.
I'll give you one better one. I saw they said Kamala's down so bad in the presidential race, they might sub Bronny in.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
How about The only person who could blow this lead for Donald Trump is Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, dude, this is so good.
It's like, wow.
The red and gold wave.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I can sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
Oh, wow. Look at this. 415. my favorite memory of Clay was when he stopped at the original Buffalo Wings on Lombard Street.
Oh, yeah.
To get some food on the way to the city from Marin County.
There's no parking right there.
No parking. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that, but...
Fried chicken is off the hook.
I've been to that place many a time.
I fell asleep at that place before. 25th birthday. Fell asleep. Big Dog City ate my chicken, my cheese steak, and I woke up and wet was eating my wings.
He had blue cheese all over his mouth.
Dude, it was like I fell asleep on the original 25th birthday, man. It got loaded, man. I was knocked out of the Buffalo Wings spot.
He ate my chicken wings.
Klay Thompson will be on the floor tonight. But will Andrew Wiggins, the Warriors announced that Wiggins is questionable with the lower back injury. It is the same injury that kept him out of a pair of games earlier this season. The good news is no other Warriors are on the injury report. Yay! Let's get Wiggins in the lineup. I need to see Wiggins against Luka. Warriors have 2 days off after this game. Hopefully Wiggins could go. He's playing some really good basketball right now. The injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. All right, what's coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We'll get Darrell Wright, Fetsa Zazili, Zaza Pachulia. We'll give out a jersey. Lot coming up on the Morning Roast. 888-957-9570 is the number again. We're giving out a jersey next hour. You may want to pay attention.
I'm going to back off.